So then at 7:04 p.m., we'll call to order the August 12th KPFT LSB regular meeting. Let's see. So the first thing that we have is to call a roll to make sure that we do actually have quorum and to see who's here. So Mr. Quarle, if you will do that.
Yes, sir. First one, Melissa Bowie.
Not yet.
Lillian Kerr.
Present.
Glenn Etienne.
Not yet.
Lyndon Foley. Jerry Fowler. Yeah. Lyndon Foley just came out, it looks like.
Here.
Jerry Fowler. Lori Gabick.
Here.
Robert Gartner. Rico Henriquez.
Evening, everyone.
Rob Lee.
Present.
Michelle Lightfield.
Aki.
Anita Long.
Hola. Yes.
PK McCary.
Shoot.
Terry Mercer.
Here.
Maury Mercer.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
Tori. Okay, got you. Thank you. Rick Norris.
Hi, everybody. I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Jane Scheidler. Debbie Smith.
Present.
Ron Stubers.
Present.
Michael Woodson.
Here. I'm here.
Colby Wright.
Here.
Susan Young. And she can't speak. I can't hear her, Susan. Okay.
She's muted.
Susan. And then,
you should log out and come back in. Just log out and come back. I can't hear you. There she goes.
And I see that
Sandy Weinman. And then Teresa Allen, I see her. Teresa.
Jerry Fowler is also present.
Allen's present, and I also see Jerry Fowler and Jane Scheidler.
All right, I'm going back to Jerry and Jane.
Present.
Anybody else join since we started? That's what we have for now. We have three excused. Sean Kelly McPherson, Rhonda Gardner, and Stuart Nance.
Is there any objection to making these excused absences? Not hearing any objection, we will make those three folks excused for this meeting. The next thing that we have then is our agenda. Let's see. So again, this is the August 12th, 2026 KPFT regular LSB meeting. We are not expecting an executive session for this meeting. This meeting is being held by Zoom conference. In the agenda, we have a note that public comment is at a fixed time. That's 8 p.m. Central Time. Agenda items in order may be pulled before or after, or pushed to after the public comment period of 30 minutes as required. public comment again is at 8 p.m. Central and adjournment by 10 p.m. Is a fixed time. We expect to be earlier than that. However, other times are estimates. First item would be the call to order. 13 people make a quorum. Item two is roll call and determination of quorum and excused absences. Item three is the approval of this agenda. Item four would be approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. These were emailed out on 8/10, which would be 2 days ago for folks, for the July 8th meeting. Item five is unfinished business, of which we have none currently listed. Item six would be new business, of which we have none currently proposed. Item seven is the GM's report. Item eight is staff recognition. Item nine would be the LSB committee and task force reports. Item 10 is public comment at 8 p.m. Item 11 would be the PNB director's reports. Item 12 is to confirm the next meeting would be September 9th, 2026. And then item 13 would be adjournment of this meeting. Are there any modifications or objections to this agenda as read? Not so far. All right. Hearing no objections, this is our agenda for this evening. Going on to the next item then is approval of the minutes for the previous meeting. That's the July 8th meeting. Hope that everybody read through them and checked to make sure. But are there any objections to approval of the minutes for the previous meeting?
No.
All right. Thank you. Not hearing any objection. The July 8th draft meeting minutes become the July 8th actual minutes. That takes us to unfinished business, which we don't have any as far as I know. Anybody aware of any unfinished business that we had previously? No, not hearing anything. We'll go on to new business. Is there any new business proposed for this meeting? I didn't receive any motion, so, I'm guessing not, and not hearing any then will,
I'm trying to look to raise my
yes,
hand.
Ma'am.
I got a question.
Yes.
If we've had three governance committee meetings and we've not met quorum, what do we do?
Well, let's put that down as new business.
Oh, okay. Well, is that what we're on?
Well, we are on new business, What might be the thing to do there would be to propose that maybe that committee be shelved for the time being. We've got votes coming up and we've got bylaw changes coming up. So
right.
That's
what I kind of figured since, you know, we weren't getting anybody there. And I thought there's going to be so many changes that I didn't know how to go about shelving it. Do we shelf it in this meeting or do we have to make an announcement? I didn't know what the protocol is.
That would be something that the LSB would determine. And if you would like, you could move that, the governance meetings not be held until the, end of this, calendar year. And that would put us.
Okay. Yeah. I moved. Okay.
Okay, Susan. I'm not getting what you're. You need to either send something in the chat or.
She could call me.
And we'll see if we can get it.
She could call me, and I'll put her on my cell phone.
Okay.
Okay. In the meantime, you can also do that sort of activity. I mean, you could make that motion at when governance is being discussed in the,
reporting
as well.
All right. That'll work.
So why don't we move to, item seven then, which would be the GM's report. Mr. Wyman.
Thank you, Ron. Hope everybody can hear me okay. It seems like the internet is a little wonky tonight for a few of us. So let me start by saying that we're continuing to meet our financial obligations, all our budgeted objectives on the revenue side and largely on the expense side, with the occasional unexpected expenses here is the only thing I would comment on. So this includes paying out all central services, including the additional fees for audit and elections. And I want to compliment Anya, our election supervisor. The job, if there ever was one, and she's doing a really, really fine service for Pacifica, paid albeit, but she's doing very well with it. So I want to say thanks for that. The FCC sanction that was placed on us because of infractions in Los Angeles and New York has now been lifted. We're out of jail, folks. That's a good thing. It doesn't mean we're changing anything at KPFT or I hope any of the other stations. We're going to continue to enforce the rules just as we've been enforcing them. And let me tell you, at times, people do get suspended or get, you know, take a week or two off, or they take the school again. It's not easy staying in the lines, but we're doing our best to do so. Interns, I just want to say we're overrun with interns, which is great. Today or yesterday, I walked upstairs and Rico and one of the interns in there, they were finally cleaning out this little corner of the upstairs. And you can now see the floor in this little room, which is little enough, but big enough to turn into maybe a production studio at some point. So finally, we're beginning to see some help. And this is all courtesy of these college students. One is a high school student on the way to college. And so it's really good to see these folks participating. And they're in the studio and get even more coming up. I've got one call today, another volunteer for that, and I think an email just last week that Rico reached out to someone. So we have, I don't know if anybody's aware, we have four air conditioners at our studio building, two splits, a downstairs and upstairs. And a couple of weeks ago, we had the air conditioning coming out three separate times for three separate air conditioners. For those of you at home with an air conditioner that's ever been repaired, every time that happens, you're rolling the dice. So we escape for $1,000 on all three service calls, and everybody's nice and cool at KPFT. But let it be a warning, we've got four of these things, and it's a capital expenditure that's sure to come around, especially the way we use those units to keep us cool. Recently, August 4th, all our programmers got together at Under the Volcano, and we all got to have a nice social hour, many people meeting each other for the first time. And it's really good to see this whole community of people that are on air rowing in the same direction and being rather amicable to one another. So congratulations to this group for holding it together and keeping that content coming and the sound that you hear. We're looking at the next fund drive, which is in October. I think it will start October 15th, which is a Thursday. If you want to take a Calci odds on that, give it about an 85%. And the one event that we're going to be going forward with, and Rico is centric to, the first annual Brickies, which is a community awards dinner. And we're going to do this in the disguise of a fajita dinner, as we have done once before, at the same location at Cadillac Bar. So that's going to be a fundraiser, and that'll be offered. We'll start offering that October 1st, as soon as we get all the details lined up. We don't have them yet, but we're close. And so there'll be awards presentation to the volunteer community, members of the volunteer community at that event. Rob Lee, who's on the call tonight, I think, is again reaching out to one of our programmers, Glenna Bell, and looking at a possible fundraising event. Also on the next drive, Rob, I want to thank you for that and all the other work that you've been doing to attract large donations. It's working. Keep it up. Thank you. I want to thank Arlo, not on the call, but without him, there'd be a jungle in our front yard. And he's been doing some additional electrical work around the building as well. For those of you not fond of the summer, come cut the lawn with Arlo one Sunday morning. Might change your mind. Then again, maybe not, but at least the lawn will have been cut. Arlo's out there most Sundays sweating and getting that done, so thanks. Our app, many of you noted that our app quit working. Everybody had a lot of apprehension. I heard from a lot of you. Anyway, our developer jumped on it. We put a pilot out there. It worked pretty well. It has been accepted by both the Android and Apple, our iOS app stores. And the cure for your ills is to delete the app, the old app, and download the new one. And your world should spin in greased grooves after that. So, hey, technology happens. I'm grateful that we have that app. Many people are enjoying that. I think we had close to about 3,000 downloads. I want to thank Teresa and Christine. I guess we, every once in a while, an argument, Linda, Matt, Kurt Goodrum, and all the others that have been coming in to Call Labs donors on a pretty regular basis. So at this point, we've gotten $6,874 off those efforts. If you think about a program at Fund Drive trying to raise money, 1 hour program, they might have to raise a couple thousand bucks for the whole drive. So those programs that aren't in a position to do so, well, this group is substituting that money. So thank you very much, Teresa and company, for keeping up the consistent work. And to Rhonda Gardner, I don't know if she's on with us tonight. Rhonda's been coming in and helping out quite a bit with Robin, some of the work on Allegiance, refunding all those bogus $1 donations that were made on our name against credit cards. They're all getting refunded. Rhonda's been grinding away at that. And also recovering, you know, people give us credit card numbers. Sometimes it's written down wrong, or sometimes I'm taking it and you can't read it at all. You know, things happen. She's calling people and getting credit card numbers straightened out. Kind of like lapsed stone calls in a very different vein. And this too is recovering dollars and members. So Rhonda, thank you for that work. It's very valuable to KPFT and our community. I want to talk a little bit about Bob Sanborn and Amplified Houston, which of course I've said many times is a program that's attracting a tremendous amount of money. I want to say we are getting a sixth partner on board coming up in a month or two here. This program's attracting about one, it will be paying for one full month of KPFT operations at our current spend level. That's quite a bit for a program that's 2 hours a week, four episodes. Okay. So that's pretty cool. So Amplified Houston is based on nonprofits writing grants to us at KPFT. It's essentially what they're doing. We're nationalizing this. We're working on Amplified America. And Bob Sanborn and the production team, including Rico, who's on the call, are at the middle of this. Now, we met with the other station managers on Tuesday, just yesterday, and we have total buy-in from four of the five stations. And the other station, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Kidding aside, I think there's a real good chance that we'll be able to go attract funding from people like Feeding America, you know, really big nonprofits, to have the chance to come on the five Pacifica stations just in the same format, same way that we avoid any payola or appearance of pay for play. And that's been blessed. That's been looked at every way, six ways from Sunday, and take that on a national scale and fund central services with the dollars that come in directly. Not KPF, not to any of the stations, directly to central services. As you know, there is a hole in the bucket. A couple of our stations are struggling a bit, and they haven't paid into that kitty in a long time. And I would estimate the total bar tab to be about $1.5 million at this point over time. That's a lot of money not to have when you're looking to make an insurance payment or pay a lawyer or pay for an audit or pay for an election. So this is a different way of thinking of funding central services, and I'm hoping we can move toward a national broadcast, even some of the affiliates, and attract even more funding. Bob Sanborn has been talking about a target of $300,000 a year. So that would at least patch a lot of the hole that we have right now, most of it. And we're moving forward. We're going to have another meeting with the managers and probably Bob coming up. And then we'll try to pick a start date and get everybody to get this on their schedule. And this means schedule changes and locations without HD channels. And when something is put on, something comes off. And in some signal areas, there's gang warfare when this happens. So these managers are going to have to navigate all this. So we're hopeful of getting this on and getting this going as quick as possible. But I'm giving you this information now because it's a plan, and we're going to continue to work it and make it happen. On June 20th, we filed a permit with the city to build our little 50-foot tower. I've gotten a reply. There were four specific objections. We've cleared two of them. I expect to hear on the other two very shortly. I was told, I think, 5 to 10 business days sometime at the beginning of last week. So we're in that pocket. So hopefully we'll find out if the information that we sent in or provided clarification for, or simply pointed out that the information that they were asking for was submitted the first time, we'll get our permit and we'll get our go on our STL tower and be able to have a backup for that tortured internet path. Mm-hmm. I want to thank Howard, who's mm-hmm. navigating the heat, who's navigating a lot of things, and continues to keep us pretty much on time like a metronome. And the sound that you hear mixed between the shows has a lot to do with Howard. So thank you for all you do, Mr. Reynolds. And also to Keith at Cruisers Roasters for the coffee beans. Thanks, buddy. No radio without coffee. For those of you out in the social media world connected to KPFT, hashtag your posts. Very simply, hashtag KPFT Houston, Houston spelled out TX, KPFT Houston TX. And that will go to all our social media sites in terms of the feed that people are seeing. We currently have 2,615 household memberships, and coming up soon, August 28th, we're going to have our third and final concert in our summer concert series, Midnight Beverage, The Hightailers, Synchronicity 3 at Shoeshine Charlie's Big Top. Walk up, come on in, and join in the party that'll be going on. The October Fun Drive, again, it's going to start around October 15th or on October 15th. And then on numbers, we're looking at a possible date on November 13th or 19th for our awards dinner at the Cadillac Bar. So that's what's coming up shortly in terms of events. I want to comment on programming very quickly. Marlo continues to do an amazing job, especially right now, because a couple things happen. One, for those of you that listen on Monday to It's Me, Mickey, unfortunately, Mickey had to leave town. She is moving back to Los Angeles, and we're going to lose her as a programmer. I've recommended her to Ace at KPFK. Hopefully she'll be able to get a gig there because she's moving not too far from where the station is in Glendale. So we'll see what happens with all that. But we're scrambling right now. There's a plan in place. We have a trying to get younger, folks. So we have a young candidate possibly to slide on in, and we're going forward. I'll have more for you next time because, again, it's more like vapor right now than it is concrete. And I don't want to mislead anybody, but we have a volunteer base. The local lineup is going to join Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. This is going to be live in concert, in studio performances. There's a group that's actively doing this in Houston, and they claim they can get underwriting for the station as well. So this would give local musicians a shot live Sunday evenings. Hey, we'll give it a whirl, see what happens. The second world is a drive time music show hosted by Blue. And, that's the information I would have given you later. It's actually in the report that way via Marlo. So I'll give it to you now. So Blue, our afternoon board operations person, is going to become a music programmer for 2 hours once a week. And then we'll see what she's got. Blue just graduated college and she's a amazing member of our KPFT team. The best. When you get to meet her, you got a question, she'll help you in every which way, as Rico will. They're the ones working with a lot of the interns here. So, I'm very, very happy she'll get a shot at, trying her musical chops. She'll become a little more rounded in her abilities that way. Still becoming a frank discussion call-in show about, yes, my favorite subject, maybe yours too, menopause. And this is going to be put up with Whole Mother, and they will, I think they're going to split that hour. So you're going to get women's issues on two levels that are very important, and you're going to get this from a doctor. So doctor on the radio. Let's see. Live Wire. This is another live local acts, metal to emo, and that's going to be Wednesday midnight to 1 a.m. on HD2. Liberty and Justice for All is a show about the promise of American democracy with Michael Merrill, Les Leopold, and Egberto Willis, and that's going to be Thursdays, 2 p.m. on HD2. So these are all being added, and Marlo, again, going back to Marlo for a moment, she's got to get these people in. She's got to get them scheduled. She's got to listen to the demos, all of this, behind the scenes. And she, like myself, draws a salary. This is what you're paying for, okay? This is what our listeners are paying for. And I can't compliment Marlo enough. And just a nod to the fellow GMs out there. Again, meeting and working now, maybe once a week with, out in Los Angeles and, with Shana in Washington DC. We're exchanging ideas, and trying to move things forward collaboratively. So, we're developing a good team on that level too at Pacifica, and my compliments to Stephanie Wells and the management team for making all of that happen. It's on a feat of magic. I'll take questions. Thank you.
Questions from anybody? Did have one question about...
Sorry, I didn't give you...
Good.
Go ahead, if I might, before you finish.
Just go ahead.
Cumulative listening. Go ahead, Ron.
No, I was going to ask about the Hello Houston.
Cumulative listenership was not... Your turn. It's okay. Thank you. All right. Cumulative listenership was 98,600 hours, and we had a 0.7 market share following, 0.6, 0.6, 0.8, and now 0.7. So we're hanging in there. The 56 for 56 campaign, as we got on the call tonight, was at $114,372. That's more than double the $56,000 posted goal. We're looking for triple. We're looking for 168, and I think we have an outside shot hitting it. So good stuff. Monthly sustainer income, $27,148, coming from 1,591 sustaining memberships. And available cash in the bank is $173,695, including a restricted cash balance or grant money of $6,065.81. This is going to pay for the Huntsville transmitter. This will evaporate in about another 6 months. So we're going to try to, again, we got to get with the Brown Foundation or someone out there to give us a little more money to fund these translators, as we've been having accustomed to over the past few years, thanks to the Brown Foundation. Okay. Thank you. Pardon my indulgence. Ron?
Great. Actually, Lyndon, you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, Sandy. Hey, doing pretty good. I saw Susan send out something congratulating KPFT on that cume, I guess you call it, the 0.7. And so that went up from like 0.3 6 months ago or 7 months ago to a 0.7. That's quite a rise. I also noticed there's a whole bunch of ahead of us, a whole bunch of Spanish language and a whole bunch of religious channels.
Almost everything, frankly, right?
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure how much of the list that we actually saw on that screenshot. What do you have anything that you think led to that increase, that doubling?
Well, sometimes it's content, and sometimes it's the fact that we're in the election season, so we would draw more interest. The other thing is Otis and Mo and Howard and Nautel and getting that transmitter running right and more reliably. It's been much more reliable than it was months ago. It's still not where we want it. That's helpful too, the sound of the station. There are several factors, Lyndon. I really can't point to a lot except that, again, it's election season and we have some politically charged program. Also, if you consider much of our premier programming has been stable for a few years, it takes time to grow an audience.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you could, you know, pinpoint anything, but I thought I'd ask. The other, is there anything, any of the four objections or holdups in putting the tower, anything that you can share with us? I'm just curious is all.
Sure, I'll be happy to share all of it with you. One was anchoring details, stamped by a PE, which were all supplied with the package I gave them, okay? Another one was electrical diagram. There was no electrical diagram. Why not? Well, as it turns out, there's one piece of coax cable. It's low voltage. We're not going to have any point-to-point wiring. We're not anticipating any lighting unless something sneaks up there somehow. But, you know, there's no wiring to show them, keeping it simple. What else was there? Oh, they wanted a dimension drawing of the lot. You know, where the parking was and where we're exactly where we're putting the tower. Well, I actually had a phone call with that guy. I put his number in his, in the comments tab and I called him. He said, well, look, just put an arrow on the survey that you supplied and that'll do it. That's what I've done. So he was able to check that box. Those were three of them. I have to think the fourth one was, right. It was
thank
almost
you.
As trivial. Okay.
Thank you.
So we're ticking the boxes off.
Good. My question was, Amplified Houston to Amplified America, anything, do the affiliates play into this in any way? Does something that would be available for affiliates, that they might be interested?
Absolutely. That's a great question. We have 200 affiliates or thereabouts. And it would be very good if when we put this into the audio exchange box that we are intending to use and make it available to really anybody that wants it. Remember, we're not asking all the stations to do this live. It's just a file you're going to play anywhere on your schedule, 30 minutes, twice a week. Okay. So other affiliates can pick this up. And when Ursula gets back from the Ukraine, where she's been for a bit on a mission of art and peace, then we're going to talk about that, and she can put this in her newsletter when we get to that point and it's released. So,
okay, great. Susan, I think Lori was first. Lori?
I just wanted to say, I really think the programming has been really great, like really great lately. I think maybe that's why numbers went up, because I think people are tired of listening to the same music, and there's just been really great hosts and programmers, and kudos to everyone. And I left the radio on in the car, so my husband started listening to it in the morning on the way to work now, where he used to listen to sports radio. So he knows things that he didn't used to know. So I really think that your program has been awesome. So thank you for all you've done. I was going to tell Sandy, I listened to the Deadbeat when you had the School of Rock kids on, and that was a really awesome show. That was really great work. And thank you for everything you do.
Yeah. Thank you. I didn't mention it, but we've had a lot of live performances in the studio recently. And we did have the Champion Forest School of Rock, the kids from that, and also from the Sugarland School of Rock come in to perform. So
great. Thank you. I think, Susan, you were next. You have to unmute yourself, however. We have to try the call back again. We can come back around. Debbie, you're.
Yeah, I listened. I think it was Monday when Blue was on, and I'm usually stuck in a lot of traffic. And I really, really, really enjoyed her choice of music. I mean, it was fantastic. So thumbs up to her. I think that will draw in the younger audience too, because she was playing some really cool music. Because like, you know, through a lot of meetings, everybody says, oh, we're not getting the younger crowd in. And like, Laura said, you know, it was the same-o, but I think her choices were top notch. So she's, you know, I'm anxious to have her as a programmer.
And Sandy, what's the show that she's going to do?
She's where Mickey was, the three okay. to six or, oh, yeah, what's
the second world.
Second world.
So, one step from the third world, you know.
Okay.
Well, good. I think her choices of music are perfect.
Great.
She's a very, very intelligent young lady, let me tell you.
All right. Rob? You're up. And you're muted.
Okay. I think I can get Susan on. Susan, can you talk?
Can you hear me?
I can hear
yes.
you.
Actually, just absolutely terrible. Okay, I'm getting the report later. I'll try to get on my phone, and I would like to kill my tech person. Okay, at any rate, audio port. Sandy, will you put in the audio port? America, put it on audio port.
Yeah, well, that's the plan. That's what I'm saying. It'll be available for the affiliates through audio.
Great. All right. And Richard, you noted that PK is here. I saw your PK. If you could say hi, we can put you on the list. Or if you can see. Okay.
I was trying to, I couldn't hear you all for the first 30 minutes. So, I thought it was my computer, but it, anyway, I'm here.
We got you. All right. Thank you. Good. So PK is here. That takes us, that is the GM's report. unless there are any other questions for the general manager. Thank you all. The next item then would be staff recognition. We got a little bit of that during the GM's report, but are there other folks that would like to throw in some staff recognition? Mr. Mercer.
Yeah, I was very happy to tune in last Friday for the Can You Dig It show with host Terry Gardner when he had Joe Isett on. Joe Isett used to run a urban farm here in Houston called Last Organic Outpost. Now he's in Tennessee. He's an old friend of mine. I think we had his birthday, a birthday party for him over here at my house once. Anyway, I really think it's important to talk about urban farming. You know, we need more urban farms. I think Bob Randall got this stuff started. He'd be a good guest, you know, from Urban Harvest. Bob Randall started Urban Harvest. And then I would really like to see Terry Gardner do a live broadcast from Finca Tres Robles, which is the newest urban farm. I think it's about 40 acres or so. It's on the east side. It's a nonprofit. I helped coach them to get their nonprofit status. And in the fall, it'd be a great place for Terry Gardner to do a live broadcast. And Blue, I heard her show, and it was notable. She started off, I remember the first song she played, Susie and the Banshees. And then she played some heavy dubs, heavy Jamaican dub. And I haven't heard anybody else do that in a long time on KPFT, play really hipster music, you know, for people under 70 years old, you know, during the daytime. So I'm glad to see Blue on during the daytime.
Great. Thank you. Rick, you're up.
Hi. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm here now.
You're good. You're good.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, I know every week or every month Howard gets all those accolades and everything, as he should. But a couple of weeks ago, Freddie and I had our 10th anniversary show, and Howard came down, and, you know, we had a handful of musicians down there, and he engineered everything for us. He videotaped the whole shenanigans that were going on. And it sounded really good when I listened to it over the archive. And just, you know, everything that he did for us that night was fantastic. So I want to say that to Howard. And then also, you know, Freddie and I are down there every Wednesday evening from 9 to 11. And a while back, somebody put in some lighting in the studio that is just fantastic. Sometimes it used in the past, it used to be too bright, too dim. But now, whatever's in there, dude, that is so cool. Because here's what's neat about it, y'all. If you haven't been down there, it's a very cool lighting setup for the studio. And it's different every week. It's so that sometimes it's a purplish color, sometimes it's a greenish, and it is perfect for the studio. So anyway, thanks for all that, y'all. I just wanted to kind of pipe in and say thanks, Howard, and thanks whoever did the lighting of the studio. It's fantastic.
All right. Great. Thank you.
If I might, Ron, that was, again, Arlo, Rico, they are principally responsible for the installation.
Oh, hey, by the way,
Amazon delivery driver for the lighting.
And I just want to say, just by the way, Tori, do you listen to our show? We play Susie and the Banshees at least once a year when it's her birthday. And it's not just one song, okay? So it's like a bunch of them. Of course, I know you know that. And I'm just telling everybody else, hey, man, spread the word. All Day Music is the kind of show that can take that 0.7 and make it 0.77.
Great. Thank you. Let's see, I think I'm next on the list there. Then, Sandy, I want to say that I appreciated the students that you had on your show in there as well. I think having musicians, aspiring and otherwise, in the studio brings a lot of energy to the place, and it makes a difference in the show. So, thanks for that. Let's see.
Educational 501.
There you go. Debbie, I think you're next.
Okay. Yeah. And I like what, Howard or whoever's putting the little inserts in between, you know, during the different program shows where the artists are saying why they appreciate KPFT. I liked it the other day when Robin read the what was that? That information about, I think he was an author. I can't remember. I liked it when I heard her read that. But I think that getting more of the artists, you know, talking about KPFT, I want to say commercials, but they're not commercials. But I think those little inputs are a plus because I really enjoy hearing, you know, well, I started at KPFT. They were the only ones that, you know, brought me in, and that's how their music, you know, got where it is today. And I like hearing all of those little inputs. So I think that's a plus for the station. And whoever's put in there, Howard or Marlo or whoever, that's great. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Debbie. Rick, you still have your hand up. Do you have something else or you good? You good? All right. Thanks. So that is staff recognition. That takes us all the way our 10 minutes to, our public comment. That takes us to the committee and task force reports. We start with development and outreach. Let's see how far we get. You are still muted, Teresa.
No.
There you go. Now you're good.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sandy, for organizing some events. I don't know the music of the Hightailers, wish I did, or Synchronicity or Midnight Beverage, but McMurtry was awesome. And I hope that our committee can meet before the 28th so we can be promoting that event as we're calling lapsed donors. I think McMurtry should have been filled. It was just such a great show. And the fajita dinner, I'm really excited about that. And so I want to know how we can promote that. The entertainment at the last fajita dinner was wonderful. I think that maybe Rick Izquierdo helped organize that, or help recruit them to perform that. It was just wonderful. And I'm not quite sure. You said acknowledged local volunteers. I wasn't quite sure if you meant only volunteers at the station or volunteers at different organizations we're going to acknowledge. But anyway, good show. So we will be making lapsed donor calls. We also are, I'd like every member of the board to think hard about perhaps what you might want to bid on if you came to an event and we had a silent auction, or what you might want to contribute to it, that you think that might get a little bit of bidding enthusiasm going. Every member of the board, I know we have many different resources and many talents. And that's not saying that we would, take your item that would be donated to a silent auction, but, I want you to please give me a call or email me or text me with any ideas, especially if you could put your finger on them. Okay? So and we will be participating Saturday night. We will be participating in Pride. You know, the Pride event in June was rescheduled because of weather issues. The parade starts at 7:15. I will be meeting Brian Hevelinka and maybe some of his other people, probably somewhere between 4 and 5. So we're walking and we have our clipboards and we'll be taking people's emails, phone numbers, names. Would you like to maybe be interviewed or do you have something that would be relevant to be announced on Queer Voices? Anyway, it's a great opportunity for people to meet the hosts and the engineers of that show and just become more aware of Queer Voices. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. And we're always open to suggestions for what community events would be useful for us to participate in. That's all I have for development and outreach, unless Debbie has something to mention.
Nope. I think you covered all the bases.
You're good.
All right.
All right. That takes us to, are you good? All right. Thank you. That takes us to governance. Debbie, do we want to formulate a motion for the next meeting?
Yes, because I haven't even scheduled one because I didn't know how to proceed. So, okay. Yeah, if we could. So
let's talk and we'll work out a motion for that.
Yeah. I would say let's proceed with a motion to shelf the governance committee until after, I would say, the elections or, you know, the end of the year.
So let's just have that discussion. Susan's shaking her head, so I think she has input.
Oh, okay.
Well,
can you hear
yes.
me?
Yes. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Holy moly.
Okay. I second that motion.
All right. Yeah, Rob earlier said we should shelf it. So I just kind of thought with all the elections that maybe people kind of, you know, were at what's going to happen. So they weren't.
So Ms. Deb, I suggest we see if anyone objects.
Okay. Does anyone object to that motion? So
are there any objections to the motion on the floor is to shelve the governance committee to the end of the calendar year? And we've got bylaw changes that are coming into effect at that time as well. That's the end of the transition period. So we'll see where we go from that point. Are there any objections to that motion? Okay. Not hearing any, then we'll shelve the governance committee. Of course, if anybody has any input on governance, they're always welcome to send information to the PNB governance committee, which does meet. It takes us to the committee of inclusion. Do we have any movement on the committee of inclusion?
I still owe you guys a link for your training. So, I'll make sure I send that up to you guys.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Michelle. That would be, for the inclusivity task force. So, we'll be able to look out for something. If you send it to me or to Rich, then we can forward it on to everybody or just send it to LSB at KPFT.
Okay. I'll make sure you all get copied on it.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. That takes us, that's 2 minutes until, our public comment period. So, there is provision in the bylaws for a 30-minute public comment period for LSB meetings. This gives an opportunity for the public to address the board.
Point of order.
Yes.
Point of order. I believe the PK had her hand up before the 2 minutes started.
That's okay. I've been trying to write it in the chat. It's not letting me do it, but I was going to ask Michelle if she would give me a call.
PK, I'd be happy to do that.
All right.
And just thanks. So you guys know, health-wise, I was out with a kind of a surprise cancer scare for a few months. So I had surgery and then I've been undergoing some treatment, and basically all I do is sleep and work to keep my insurance. So I apologize for not being here and present, but I am on the mend and you will see more of me. And PK, I'll give you a call.
All right. Thank you both. Mm-hmm. So you're the rules. No. Sorry.
Thanks, Teresa. Okay. I appreciate it.
I want to say to Michelle that she's in our thoughts.
Yes. Absolutely. So for the public comment period, the rules are that the fair campaign rules currently apply. So we'll have no discussion of candidates or positions for the candidates. We don't discuss personnel issues, make ad hominem attacks, slander, derogatory statements and that sort of thing. If so, we give a warning, or if it's continued, then we can remove someone. Board members are not allowed to comment, speak, or respond. So it's not a dialogue. Time for each speaker is 3 minutes. And if all speakers have had an opportunity, then people who have spoken before may speak up to 2 times. If we have community organizations, then we give them their 2 3-minute pieces together so as not to break up their time. Yeah. Then if you're a member of the public and you'd like to speak, please raise your hand, or when we get to a little break, you can say hello and then we can do that. I do see that we have Rachel Wright with the Northwest Assistance Ministries here, so who'd requested to address the board. So, Ms. Wright, why don't you go on ahead? You have the floor.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. Again, my name is Rachel Wright. I'm the Chief Development and Communications Officer for Northwest Assistance Ministries, or NAM as we are fondly known in the Houston community. We are a faith-based multi-program social service nonprofit founded by 10 area congregations. NAM's mission is to create a healthy, connected community where all neighbors have the opportunity to reach their God-given potential and achieve stability, wellness, and purpose. NAM provides critical life-changing services, including access to food and basic needs, meals on wheels, senior services, domestic violence support, behavioral health, housing, veterans services, and workforce development, coupled with financial education. Our food is provided through an on-site food pantry where our neighbors can come in and choose items. It's a client choice pantry. Last year, we distributed almost 1 million pounds of food to our local community. Basic needs include mostly rental assistance and utility assistance for those facing economic crisis. Our senior services are delivered both through our Meals on Wheels program and through an on-site senior center called Young at Heart, where residents of Harris County who are age 60 and above can come and have free lunch, congregant lunch, 5 days a week, as well as participate in a myriad of social activities like bingo, tai chi, exercise, health classes, foreign language classes, things of that nature. Our domestic violence support is provided on site in our Family Violence Center. We have a day center, a 24/7 hotline, as well as case management support for those exiting violent situations. Behavioral health is provided on site and in local school districts. We provide play therapy, couples therapy, individual group therapy. We are able to provide on-site school services in Aldine ISD and Tomball ISD to prevent learning loss for children, as well as to prevent economic hardship for parents and guardians who are of those children who are in need of those services. So that's just a little bit about what we do. Our vocational services are also provided right at NAM, and they include plumbing, electrical, carpentry classes, certifications, as well as healthcare certifications such as phlebotomy or a certified nurse's assistant, helping people to upskill and receive jobs that are more capable of meeting their economic needs. Many of our neighbors first come to NAM for an immediate need such as food or to pay a utility bill. However, NAM staff works alongside them and listens to their life goals, connecting individuals and families with additional services to reduce barriers to success. One example is Daniel, a neighbor who is a veteran, husband, and father of 3 who found himself without a job. He came to NAM seeking food assistance. In entering the lobby, he saw a flyer for veteran services. He immediately called our case manager, Ayanda, who was able to meet with him and quickly learned that Daniel needed much more than food. He needed rental assistance and utility assistance to remain in his home and keep his utilities on. NAM was able to provide those things along with case management. Ayanda was able to walk alongside Daniel, who is today fully employed and caring for his family of 5. NAM also serves many neighbors with limited by age, disability, and mobility. NAM delivers more than 800 meals to homebound seniors or disabled adults nearly every day. For many, this is both their main source of food and companionship. The volunteers delivering meals often are the only person this neighbor may see that day. One neighbor named Carla was struggling to feed herself because she was spending most of her money to feed her one companion, her cat. Carla had no family and no one to check in on her. She was referred to the Meals and was quickly losing weight due to malnutrition. She was referred to the Meals on Wheels program. And since this time, Carla has, she receives meals 6 days a week, as well as additional groceries on Saturday. She has gained a whole pound and no longer struggles to feed both her cat and herself. So we're really pleased with Carla's progress. Through NAM, our neighbors find hope, connection, and a path to a brighter future. If you'd like to learn more about Northwest Assistance Ministries, see how you can volunteer. Meals on Wheels is our greatest need for volunteers right now to help deliver meals. Or make a donation, you can visit www.namonline.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel. Sorry, I was muted there. We can put your information in the chat as well, so that way if people didn't catch it the first time, they can get it. Michelle, you have your hand up?
Just a quick question. I know that Meals on Wheels in several segments has lost some funding in the last year. Has that impacted
your
participation?
We don't do that? Okay. Yeah, sorry. It's not.
No, it's okay.
Send it in the chat maybe or something, but, and I see that we also have, Margaret Adsett here, who's with the Be an Angel Foundation. So Margaret, you have the floor.
Definitely. I'm unmuted.
You have 6 minutes. Yeah, you have 6 minutes. I'll let you know at 5. Sure.
Okay. Thank you. I apologize. I'm in the car. I was at a workout class, so I'm driving. Pulled over to get on the call. My name is Margaret Adsett. I'm the program director for Be an Angel. We are celebrating 40 years since 1986. We have provided adaptive equipment, special services, respite care, and programs for children with special needs. We're based in Houston, but we serve the entire state of Texas. Adaptive equipment runs from wheelchairs, hearing devices, adaptive strollers, trikes, anything that Medicaid and insurance does not cover. And I would say the last 5 or 6 years, those cuts are getting greater and greater for our families, limited to low-income families with a child with special needs. For example, hearing devices. If a child does not own their own hearing device, by law, the schools provide it for the educational school day, but those kids are giving a loaner hearing aid for that day. But at the end of the day, weekends, holidays, those loaner hearing aids have to stay at school. So when a child doesn't own their own hearing aid, they go home, just like this afternoon from school, without those hearing aids. So we were able to provide those for families, along with, again, wheelchairs, hearing aids, strollers, anything that would just improve their quality of life. One of our programs, we take families to camp 4 times a year. We want to keep there are lots of divorce in families who get separated when they have or caring for a child with special needs. By just camp is a weekend that we cover the cost, but everyone in the home gets to go. And so it's an adaptive, accessible camp where they can be a child. They can bond as a family. We zip line, we canoe, we horseback ride. So a child in a wheelchair, they can take them out of the wheelchair, put them in a beanbag in the middle of the canoe. And as a family, they can canoe in the lake. We have adapted saddles for children who need that adaptation. There are just so many things that children, inner city Houston children, often don't get to see. So when they go and they get to see the stars and enjoy canoeing and zip lining and fishing, as a family, it's respite for the family. We provide all the meals. We take care of everything. They just have to get themselves there. And we often have moms and dads tell us that we just don't know what that did for them, just having a weekend away. Respite care is another one of our programs. We offer 12 hours of care. The family has to find a provider who doesn't live in their home. But 12 hours that a family can go back to church or run an errand. We had a mom last summer that said, I just need an hour in my car. Caring for a child with special needs is 24/7. And often finding someone who can is qualified to care for that child, that they're comfortable with, that they trust their child with, is very hard if they don't know anyone. So that 12 hours allows them to be able to maybe go to a soccer game of another child, go on a date as mom and dad. We have one family who sometimes mom doesn't leave the home. The other two children like to bake. So while her child is being cared for, she can bake with the other two children. So that's just much needed family time, much needed respite that we're able to provide. We are a private 501c3 charity. We rely on donations and grants and just the generosity. Houston is a very generous community. So we've been able to provide what we provide, like I said, since 1986. We are celebrating year 40. We are always looking for volunteers. We have several events throughout the year. We have our end of year campaign, taking families to camp. We take volunteers then. We do several events, fun runs and things that we're always asking for volunteers. You can check out our website at beanangel.org. And when you type it out, it should look like beanangel, beanangel.org.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for this opportunity.
All right. Thank you very much. We're good on time. Do we have other members of the public who would like to comment?
Do you see the hand
yes,
up?
Yes, I do see. Yeah. iPhone 4. I do not hear you, but you're.
Hi there. You're recognized. Can you hear me?
There you are. Yes.
Great. Okay. Wonderful. Good evening. I am Ladusca York. I'm an artist and event coordinator in Old Town Spring, and I've been checking in recently to keep y'all updated on our cute little town. I've got three little orders of business tonight I thought I would talk about. First order of business is to announce that Old Town Spring has recently undergone a facelift. The roads have been repainted and restructured into a one-way path, creating more free parking. There are many new businesses, along with the old favorites like the German House and Mallet's Hardware, as well as some new large murals painted by local artists. Many of the businesses have repainted their storefronts as well. It's so picturesque, and I think they will continue to make improvements. But if you haven't been in a while, please grab a friend, treat yourself, and go spend a day in Old Town Spring. On Saturday, August 22nd, I'll be holding an event, which is an open-air art gallery and gift shop in town at 119 and a half Main Street from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're featuring a variety of local artists, gifts of all kinds, different types of art and styles from paintings to the plushies that are real popular now, and photography, all kinds of stuff, a great variety. That's going to be exciting and a great opportunity to come out and venture into Old Town Spring and see what you might have been missing. The third order of business tonight that I want to share is that on October 10th, at this same location in Old Town Spring on Main Street, your own Lori Gabbick, who's part of your board, and Matt Potter, who is a business owner and musician in town and the president of the Old Town Spring Merchants Association, are putting together a free community event October 10th. We are suggesting donations, and excitingly enough, we are representing and raising money for Be an Angel, which is who Margaret just spoke about. So Margaret introduced Be an Angel tonight. And that's who we are wanting to raise some money for at this event. This is again October the 10th, so we're sort of feeling like it's a great opportunity to begin ushering in the holidays in Old Town Spring, which are all very popular as we move forward into Halloween, Thanksgiving time, and Christmas. Lots of shopping goes on. This event is being coordinated to encourage togetherness and creativity in town. And Lori Gabbick has really taken the lead in pulling this all together. So she's been a great coordinator of it, and she's certainly excited to bring everybody together and have a little fun. We are calling it Zombie Stomp, and Lori can tell you a little bit more about the history behind that. We'll all be dressing up like zombies and taking train rides, the Be an Angel train in town. We'll be listening to live music. There are plans for a live band while perusing the shops and eateries in town. We think it's a great way to provide outreach in the community, and we would love to include other artists in the community. We'd like this to be a fairly reasonably big event in town. We would like to ask about a potential media partnership with KPFT, just dropping a little hint there, planting a little seed to advertise for the event and to provide outreach for KPFT as we can rally new listeners at the Zombie Stomp. I think ideally we're hopeful there's potential for maybe a live broadcast. That would certainly be amazing. But details can be ironed out with Lori, your board member, and we're just excited to be sharing things going on in Old Town Spring as that sweet little town continues to thrive, and certainly it needs the support of our community. Thank you for your time tonight.
All right. Thank you very much. Good little time there. So thanks for that input. Any other members of the public who would like to address the board? Let's see. Not seeing anybody. So what we can do is, it's 8:17. What we can do is move on, and if other members of the public would like to speak, then they're welcome to raise their hand or shout out and do so. Otherwise, we'll go ahead with our next item on the agenda, which is the PNB director's reports. And Susan, how's your speaking voice now?
Can you hear me?
Good. Yeah, you're good.
I'm afraid I just, I got to be too complicated for me, and that's a very low bar. I think several of us have brief reports to make. And I think maybe, both, Michael Woodson and Teresa, and then I've got some follow up. We forwarded to Richard, who forwarded to all of you, a detailed report from the PNB, which is about when meetings have been held, the major things adopted at those meetings, who attends those meetings on behalf of KPFT, who are the people who are the representatives on, in those committees, and some of the major things that are happening. And also attached is the executive director's report, which is very, very, very detailed and informative. She provides that to the Pacifica National Board. We met last week, and so it is timely. So I thought maybe Teresa and Michael might want to speak, and then I have some things to address.
All right. Thanks.
I can just come in and say that the Finance Committee is meeting on Tuesday, coming up, what is that, the 18th? And, yeah, we normally would have met already, but it got postponed. And we're working on membership amounts, you know, what a bottom dollar donation would take to become a member, and whether or not that's advisable. And we're still looking at performance and the sustainability of the stations and, you know, doing some oversight and, you know, just kind of keeping an eye on that. So I'll know more on Tuesday, have more details on Tuesday, but people are welcome to join in. I invite you to join the finance committee when we're not in executive session. Can I do that, Susan?
You can invite them to listen in on the stream. Mm-hmm. When they're not in executive session, all committees are streamed.
That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Are you ready for me, Ron?
Yes, ma'am.
Okie doke. I want to tell you about what we've accomplished in governance committee. We had two motions that went to the national board. The first one had to do with membership waivers for people who did not have the income to contribute toward membership but wanted to vote. This is a new function for the PNB. They set up a committee to review. We had three people that submitted requests to receive a waiver of paid membership in order to vote. And the committee met and agreed to all three. So we have three new members. Also, we also had a motion regarding posting of agendas and audio recordings of town hall meetings and minutes and recordings of the PNB and LSB committees, and also agendas. And I'm going to read the motion, which was passed by the PNB. Be it resolved that all PNB and LSB committees must post an agenda on kpftx.org and either minutes or recordings of their sessions or both. And be it further resolved that town hall meetings must post an agenda on kpftx.org and an audio recording of the meeting, and that any town halls which do not comply will not be posted on KPFTX. And that was passed up by the Pacifica National Board. That's it.
All right.
Okay, I think
Thank you.
My turn.
Mm-hmm.
So, first thing I wanted to mention is that, there have been questions about what happens when there are vacancies on the, among the candidacies, on the ballots that are coming forward. There are several, several local station boards did not have candidates qualify for all of their positions. And a couple of the stations did not have candidates qualified for their representatives on the national board. So there's been some concern about that. The governance committee discussed, was there a way that these matters could be addressed this year after the election results were available in October? A council has advised that these matters, how these are to be decided and any actions taken must be the responsibility of the board when they are seated in 2027. So the Pacifica National Board will probably, oversee the whole, and perhaps individual local station boards will have responsibility for dealing with vacancies that occur on those boards. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that there have been a lot of meetings in the executive session. And the reason for that is we have some very serious unfinished business that is basically a decade old, 2016. And there have been questions about the IRS 501c3 status that arose 10 years ago. Just today, we received the confirmation from the IRS that we are in good standing, and there is a report on the Pacifica.org website about it, and all of the GMs have been informed. There is follow through with the Attorney General about whether we have, whether our charitable status gets reinstated or is recognized, I should say. We have got audits that have been slow in getting done for a variety of reasons. In 2022, we had a whole financial management team that resigned because we didn't have the resources to pay them. So all of our financial systems, all of the financial data had to be transitioned over. We also had an audit firm in place, but a member of the public made an accusation publicly, and they withdrew. We have gone into the audit committee has been very active, sought proposals for new auditors. We had a good set of proposals, and the audit committee made a recommendation to the board. By the way, because there have been these public commentaries that have caused this problems in the past, the name of the selected auditor will not be made public. The recommendations were brought forward by the audit committee. The PNB made that decision and has engaged an auditor. The auditor is working. They will do the FY 2022 and FY 2023 audits, we hope, by the end of August. And the FY 2024 and 2025 audits by November is our plan. As we have been moving forward in the audits, we have found that some of the transition from the team that used to be handling the financial work and our systems have needed some updating. So that has resulted in delays, but there is a comprehensive effort to address the problems that we have organizationally and resource-wise, and so we are back on track. That is a problem that has been around basically for a decade, and the current board and management are addressing these very proactively, and I am confident that we will get ourselves back into full order by the end of this year. Are there any questions?
All right. Great. Actually, other hands being up. A question for Teresa about governance in this resolution. So I'm trying to understand what that actually means, because you have to have a meeting on KPFTX in order to post an agenda and or I guess an agenda, so I'm not sure how that.
Well, we're talking about two things. We're talking about town hall meetings, and we're talking about Pacifica National Board and committee meetings. With a town hall meeting, you can't expect minutes. You would not have minutes of a town hall meeting, okay, because you can't expect a secretary to paraphrase or even take word for word everything that everybody says. So you would have to have an audio, and they ask that you would present an agenda of that meeting. You can't just have this group come on, post something on KPFTX, and just have a free-for-all meeting, town hall discussion. I mean, it has to be relevant to the organization. And so that's what that was, that's about. Now, when it comes to the committees, they expect us to have agendas and post the agendas. So at least at the time of the meeting, you have an agenda. And then you either have to either post the committee minutes or have the audio, one or the other, or both.
Good. All right. Okay. Just as a note, I think we've been pretty good about that, at least over the last year and a half or so on KPFT. I'm not so sure about other parts of the organization. All right. That would be the DNB director's reports. Any other questions anybody have for them? Ms. Scheidler.
Hi.
Jane.
I don't seem to be able to raise my virtual hand. And it's just about town hall meetings, and I think this is pretty obvious, but question. They don't need to be legal noticed meetings either, do they? doesn't count as a meeting. That's what I thought. I'm just, you know, just checking my own brain. Thank you.
Yeah, and there are no motions or any of that, resolutions or any of that kind of thing that comes out of them either. So, yep. Good. So that would be item 11, the PMB director's reports. Item 12 then is confirmation of our next LSB meeting being September 9th, unless there's an objection to that date. Looks like we're on for that date.
Yeah, Ron,
you have objection.
No objection on that. We're getting close to sign off, and we've already missed new business. If you tell me, I could bring this up next time. But when I heard the third speaker talk about, hey, what could KPFT do to promote the event? And then I've talked to Sandy, and I understand how valuable our airtime is. But on the report that lots of people use, lots of DJs will pick things out. And it's done by, I think, Dog, the blues guy. Do we also accept local events? And would that be something that we could have in there as well, so that those could be put on there and it would be posted? I know I'm creating work, but I just thought, well, that would certainly be a community service. Thank you.
That's a good question. I don't think that list is kept. I think it's kept by him, correct? Not by the station.
Well, I think it's posted though.
It's posted.
But anyway, maybe we should bring that up next time. But certainly that might help. And that also might help when somebody says, hey, I wish we could, you know, put this on the air, and then DJs could actually see it and say, you know, this is a wonderful thing.
Well, I would like to say, if you want to use the Blues Hounds calendar, if you're doing an event with music, just Google the Blues Hound and submit and say such and such band will be performing at this specific place, this date, you know, date and time.
I was suggesting expanding it for allowing community organizers to post one of their events as well. But like I was saying, the third speaker's event in spring.
Mm-hmm. Might be a good discussion with him.
That's a pretty wide ranging list anyway. Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up for further discussion at a later date.
All right.
Point of order?
Yes.
I think that Melissa Bowie just alerted that she was here.
Yes.
There she is.
Melissa, can you say hello? Are you? No.
Can't hear Melissa.
She's muted.
She's saying that he's here in the chat.
Can we take the chat?
No.
I don't think it does. Melissa, we're just about ready to sign off here. So if you want to get on the list, now's the time. Otherwise, item 13 would be adjournment of this meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right.
Adios.
Thank you, everyone. Oh, there's Melissa.
Thanks, everyone.
Night, everyone. Have a good one.
Goodbye.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Have a great evening.